Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, 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 because of who you are. Hallelujah. That is something that we have to contemplate every day. What is, who is Jesus to us? Hallelujah. Some say the Savior. Some say the Redeemer, the Restorer. Hallelujah. The Helper. Glory. He's all. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because of who you are, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. We glorify you. And we give you the thanks and everything that's going. You know, we want to pray before we go on. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have on Blog Talk Radio, this open door so we could transmit every Sunday evening the mystery, the Bible mystery. Glory be, hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord God, for all that you have given unto us and all that you are giving unto us. You know, the Bible says it has not entered into the mind of men, you know, the things that God has for them. We don't think about those things, what God has for us. You know, we should think about those things, what's going on in the world today. We see that Israel is fighting Hamas. And, you know, we wonder, we pray for our brothers and sisters, but we also have to be careful and say, Father, I don't want to pray against your will. Because when you look back at the history of Israel, God allowed the enemies of Israel to come against them because Israel was disobedient. They did not follow the commandments of God. They didn't follow the law of God. They didn't follow the statutes of God. They didn't follow what God wanted them to do. So God allowed the enemy to come and war against them because of that. And here again, we find Israel fighting against Hamas. Many people have been taken captives and many people have been killed. We pray not only for Israel to find the Messiah and to cry unto him, but we also pray for the Palestine people so they too could come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not excuse what they did back in October the 6th. We do not excuse what they did October the 7th. We do not excuse that at all. They never should have come against Israel because the Bible says Israel is the apple of God's eye. He is their people and he is their God. And Jerusalem is the city where God put his name in, and he's the city that God will protect. So even though it appears like Hamas have the upper hand, but eventually they will lose out. Because they're coming against, not against Israel. They think they're coming against Israel, but they're coming against the Almighty God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. You know, a lot of them are Muslims. A lot of them are Islamic, and they have a different belief system. But unfortunately, when you look at the history of the Quran, when you look at the history of Islam, Muhammad, when you look at the history of Muslim, not everything has been ordered by the Lord. It has not been ordered by the Lord. This was a man-made religion, and many people follow the man-made religion. But when you follow the word of God, you're going to be astounded at what God is saying, because many prophecies have come to pass. Many people have encountered the risen, and they have left their last estate that they were in, and they have converted over to Christianity to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, when the time came that Pontius Pilate was going to take Jesus Christ to crucify him, the people, the Jewish people, cried out, "Let his blood be on us and our children." And sure enough, we see that that even Jesus cried for Jerusalem. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you like the hen takes her chicks on her wings. But you killed the prophets and they killed the Son of God. You know, when we read in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 7, it talks about the time that Jesus was resurrected. But down further, we read how the rabbis and all of them were angry with Pontius Pilate because Pontius Pilate wrote a scription that was nailed to the cross above Jesus. And the scription says, Jesus Christ, the God, or the King of the Jews. And they went to Pontius Pilate and they said, don't say that he's the King of the Jews. Say that he said he's the King of the Jews. And Pontius Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. And what happens is that the Jews, when they read a message, they take the first letter of each and they look at it and see if there's a secret meaning. And sure enough, when they read Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, it spelled out the tetragram. Tetragram, YHVH. And it meant to them that they killed God Almighty. And they were upset with that. One day they're going to have to answer to the Lord. But unfortunately, according to the prophet Amos, two-thirds of Israel will die. One-third will survive the remnant, and they would hide themselves in the mountains, awaiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's during the tribulation time, when the Antichrist is revealed, after the church is caught up to the clouds to be with the Lord forever. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way to the Tabernacle, on Blog Talk Radio, radio station for the worldwide listening audience. You could call us at 516-418-5944. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Every class that we have, every program that we have is here on Blog Talk Radio at the same time. Glory be to the Lord. Let me give you a little disclaimer and a little bit itinerary of the church. The disclaimer is, just like the song that we heard, Because of Who You Are, it doesn't belong to Pastor Ramos. It doesn't belong to The Way to the Tabernacle. It doesn't belong to Blog Talk Radio. It belongs to the individual artists who sang the song. And because we bought the original DVD CDs, in them we have permission to use their songs. So we want to thank God for that open door. Glory be to the Lord. A little bit of itinerary of the church, and that is that every Sunday at 7 p.m. like tonight, the Bible mystery, where we ask a question regarding Bible scripture, and if you come up with the answer, you'll get a beautiful accordion style colorful pamphlet from the church, from the Way, Truth, and Life Tabernacle. The one that we have today is Symbolisms in the Tabernacle. The Tabernacle, it talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that points to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. So if you get to the Bible mystery of tonight, you will receive a beautiful pamphlet from the church. We will mail it out to you, and you will receive it, and we would suggest you put it with your Bible. So if you go out to an appointment and you're waiting for them to call you, you could always take out your pamphlet and start studying the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was also known as the Tent of Meetings. It was where Moses presented Aaron and his sons as the high priest to the nations of Israel. And it was a portable tabernacle, meaning that when the cloud by day began to move, they would take everything down and they would follow the cloud. When the cloud stopped, they will rebuild the tabernacle and they will have the sacrifice offerings, because that's where God dwelt with them in that tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. In these days, my brothers and sisters, Paul said it to us. A question. He said, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Spirit? So we born-again Christians, when we are the Lord and Savior, when we repent, we baptize, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't dwell in tabernacles made with man's hands. He dwells in us, something that was created by God himself. Hallelujah. Remember, he created each and one of us in his image. Glory be to God himself in us. And the love of God, that's what in John, the letters of John says, that if the love of God is not in you, then you're not of God. God is love, and he that loves has God. And sure enough, that's what we have within us, is the love of God. So we are the new tabernacle. We are the new one. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to the Lord. And we have an imminent expectation of the catching up, harpazo in the Greek. And when you look at the English translation, it is rapture. Glory be to the Lord. We're going to be caught up to the clouds to meet Christ. The Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that Christ himself, Jesus the Lord, will descend in the clouds with power and great glory. And God will bring with him those that have sleep in Christ Jesus. There'll be a trumpet sound. There'll be a loud voice, a shout. Hallelujah. Christ himself will descend. Glory be to the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise first, and they're going to be receiving a glorified body. We that remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and we'll be transformed. We'll receive a glorified body, and we meet him in the clouds. So we're going to see who he is. We're going to recognize him, because we're going to be just like him. And he's going to take us to our Father's house, where we're going to have a bema seat. We're going to have the supper. We're going to have the wedding feast of the Lamb. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then Christ will bring his to him, his bride. He's going to bring the angels of heaven to come down to the earth, to Mount Olives, and he's going to rescue Israel, and all Israel will be saved. Glory be to the Lord. And he will set up his millennium kingdom here on earth, and he's going to sit in the throne of his father David. Glory be to the Lord. Unfortunately, the Jewish people, because of traditions and because of Christ, they teach the wrong thing. They are telling their congregants that they're waiting for two messiahs. One is called Messiah Ben Joseph. The other one is Messiah, not understanding that in Jesus Christ, both of them were fulfilled in him. He is Messiah Ben Joseph and Messiah Ben David, Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you, Lord, from the tribe of David. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. From the family of David, born in Bethlehem, as the prophet said, from a virgin, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So this is the pamphlet that you're going to receive from the church if you get the correct answer to tonight's mystery. Tuesday, we have what we call intercessory prayer, and we want to come and join us as we pray. Number one, as per Psalms 122:6, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and then we have other subjects that we will share with you as we pray for that 1 hour. Glory be to the Lord. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., we have the Bible study. We've been studying what's next. What's next? Last week, we studied the difference between the catching up, the rapture, and second coming. What was next? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And this Thursday will be a different subject. Glory be to the Lord. That's the itinerary of the church. Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. 516-418-5944. And you press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go on with tonight's Bible mystery. The Bible mystery of the question is, what was our schoolmaster? If you have the computer, your laptop, and you log on to the program, you would see the question there, and you would see certain bullets. And I'm going to share that with the audience for those that don't have the laptop or the computers. Hallelujah. If you have your computer, you want to give your answer to the church, you could email us at www.wtltabernacle@gmail.com. wtltabernacle@gmail.com. If you could get into the chat room, I will investigate and check and see if anybody's there with the question. Glory be to the Lord. If you want to call the pastor at the end of the program, about 8 o'clock p.m., you could call 772-626-3178. That's 772-626-3178. And that's in the eastern coast of the United States and Florida. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. What was our schoolmaster? The first point that we have to look at is this schoolmaster, every mouth from excuses. Share the schoolmaster with you and ask you questions. You're going to give me an answer, but it's not going to be sufficient. Because when we look at the schoolmaster and we look at what it says, it will stop your mouth. You're going to stop with the excuses because, you know, too many people have excuses as to why they're not saved, they're not born again. They have different reasons why they don't go to church. They have different reasons why they don't fellowship. Yet all these things are something that the Lord put in the Bible, in the Word, that we ought to do. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So what stops every mouth? If you know what stops every mouth, then you know what our schoolmaster. Again, if you have an answer to the question, you could call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And I will see a raised hand on the pamphlet here on the program, and I would click you on, and you will give me the answer. And if the answer is correct, you will receive a beautiful pamphlet, colorful accordion-style pamphlet of the tablet. Glory be to the Lord. So this schoolmaster stops every mouth. So when people who will go before the great white throne judgment, they have to give God an answer for their retaliation, for their disobedience. They're not going to have an excuse that's going to be sufficient because, you know, everybody knows this beautiful verse, the Gospel of John 3:16. God so loved the world that whosoever believe in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So man won't have an excuse as to why they rejected Jesus Christ. They won't have an excuse. They're going to blame everybody else, you know. They're going to blame the pastor. They're going to blame the reverend. They're going to blame the church. But all that doesn't matter. Because what matters is God is looking for a relationship. If you recognize that you have sinned, and sin is what separates from God, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Sin is what separates us from God. And if we acknowledge our sin before him, repent of our sin. That means turn around. Don't do it again. Ask him to cleanse you. That's why Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross. God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. So you ask God to cover you, to wash you with the precious blood of the Lamb. And you ask Christ to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior, then what's going to happen is you're going to be in line with the schoolmaster. Because everything about you will be changed. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. What was our schoolmaster? That's the question, the mystery. And the first bullet point is this schoolmaster stops every mouth. So, you know, if we meet each other in the street and I'll be evangelizing and I give you a tract or I start a conversation regarding the things of God and you reject it, no matter what you say, your mouth is going to be stopped. Because out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. So if you got wickedness in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. And that's not going to be an answer. If you are a born-again Christian and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, when somebody speaks of Jesus Christ, you're going to praise him. You're going to worship him. Because that's what's in your heart. That's the Holy Ghost in you. And you're going to praise him and worship him and give him thanks. And that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And people would know he or she is a child of God. Glory be. Glory be. So this schoolmaster stops every mouth to the Lord. I have the scriptures pertaining to the questions that I ask you, but I'm not going to give the scriptures and I'm not going to give the answer because I want you to learn for yourself and learn what that is. Paul speaking to the Corinthian churches, you know, tells them that he's feeding them milk. There should be a meat. There should be teachers, but they are like babes. They need to be fed milk. So what's happening is I have to consider that there might be a young baby. There might be people who are mature or people at different levels in, but I have to speak as if I'm speaking to the baby. So the baby could understand, feed him milk. And that's why on Sundays, Bible Mysteries, some people might look at it and they say, oh, this is so simplistic. But, you know, I like to be simplistic so people would understand. One of my prayers is like the prayers of Solomon, Father God, wisdom and understanding of your word that I may teach your people. Your statute, your covenant. So, you know, I don't want to come with fancy words, educated words, college bound words. I want to be simplistic, you know. So you could research, do your homework, and get the answer to the questions. And that would help you understand. And not only that, you're going to do a word search, and you're going to read the scriptures. I will recommend you read the sentence, you read the paragraph, you read the verse, you read the chapters before, the chapters after, the book before or the book after. So you could keep the word, you could keep the verse in context, and that's how you go understand. Because there's something that are written for the people of Israel that do not pertain to the Gentiles. There's some things that are written to the Gentiles do not pertain to the Israel people. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, if you remember when you're doing your research, when you're doing your reading of your Bible, what, you know, you have the five W's, and you want to make sure who is speaking. Speaking to, what are they speaking about? You know, these things you want to keep in your heart, because that will help you to understand the scriptures more. And remember one thing, and that is, you could read the Bible, that is called the Logos Word, but we want to ask before turning the page, you want to ask the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writing of the scriptures, to give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of his word, a revelation of his word. That is called the Rhema word. We have the Logos word, which is a written word, but we want the Rhema word, because just like you take a shower, you take off your layers of clothing before you get into the shower, well, in the Word of God, there is layers of the Word of God. Today, you can read a scripture and you come back to it tomorrow and you'll get something different from it, because that's, if you remember Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he told them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are the ones that speak of me. Glory be to the Lord. Why is that? Because eternal life is found nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. So the scriptures will point them to Jesus Christ. But they didn't want to go deep into it. And even now, you know, they're having a big, big problem in Israel, because everybody's arguing about the war. The war that's there, that they pray for the war. And they say the war belongs to the temple of Herod before he got there. When you just read the scriptures correctly, the tabernacle was built in the city of David, next to where the Gihon Springs are at. So when you read the scriptures correctly, you're going to see that God will give you an understanding of the Word of God. So what was our schoolmaster? Now, the word was is a past tense word. So to us, it's a past tense word, because what was our schoolmaster? We learned something from it. But some people are still in the present tense. What is our schoolmaster? So we have to look at the scriptures correctly and see what are they talking about. The second point, what is our schoolmaster, or what was our schoolmaster? It says by it, it's the knowledge of sin. By it, it's the knowledge of sin. There is a scripture that talks about, you know, it talks about he that says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. You know, are you doing the same thing? You know, Jesus and his sayings in one of the Gospels talked about people that the schoolmaster to other people's. If you do it correctly, there will be an enlightenment given out. But if they don't do it correctly, they will be responsible, greater responsibility than your normal Christian. Teachers have a very heavy task to rightly divide the word of truth. We know in Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, study yourself, approve unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Glory be to the Lord. And in another passage, he talked about us becoming perfect in the Word of God. But that word perfect, when you do a word study, is talking about maturity. So you want to come mature, maturity to the Word of God. So even though this is simplistic, it'll help you to mature in the words of God. And that's why when you have these questions, and I will give the verses if somebody called in with the correct answer. What was our schoolmaster? And for every that I will give them out if somebody comes up with question. Glory be to the Lord. Otherwise, we'll hold this lesson until another time. We'll come back to it. What was our schoolmaster? Or what is our schoolmaster? Hallelujah. Second point is, by it is the knowledge of sin. By it is the knowledge of sin. First of all, you have to describe what sin is. Simplistic, sin is disobedience to God's word. Very simple. Sin is the disobedience of God. This schoolmaster, it says by it, then is the knowledge of sin. So this schoolmaster will help you understand that what you're doing is wrong. What you have done is, if I go and take something that doesn't belong to me, I'm called a thief. And I committed sin. That's only because of something. That's only because of our schoolmaster. One thing our court system is or was created after the order of our word. And when we go to court, you know, you're not going to court for the good thing that you have done. You're going to court because you have committed sin and you have to give an account for that sin. Glory be to the Lord. Let's look at the third point. It says, it's good if it's used lawfully. It's good if it's used lawfully. So what it's saying is the schoolmaster is good if it's used lawfully. We as teachers, we as people who have the authority in the Word of God, you know, we don't want to use the Word of God in a way that benefits us and doesn't benefit you. We put a burden on your shoulder and we are justifying it by the schoolmaster. That's not the way it should be. We should be able to share what the schoolmaster says and show how operating with the schoolmaster, we receive a benefit. It's used lawfully. If it's used lawfully, there's many times where the Jewish people did not use the schoolmaster lawfully. If you remember the woman that was caught in adultery, she was brought to Jesus. And they said to him, Moses and his law says that she should be stoned because she was caught in the very act. You know, and they quoting what the prophet says, they're not lawfully quoting what the prophet says. Because what the prophet says, when you look at it back in Jeremiah, you will see that he said the man and the woman, they both were supposed to come and be stoned to death when they got caught in adultery. But the thing is, they only brought the woman. And remember what some of the messengers told Jesus or told the disciples, that they are using his word against them. They're trying to, if what he says is correct. So if Jesus would have said, stone her to death, he would have been not using the schoolmaster lawfully, because he would have gone against what the prophet said, what God said through the prophet. But Jesus, who is the word of God, become alive, become in the flesh, took on flesh, took on human being in the form of a servant. And he was obedient even to the death of the cross. Jesus Christ used the schoolmaster lawfully. And then he bent down and he began to write on the dirt. And that, too, he used it lawfully, and that came from Deuteronomy. It talks about that the priests should write the names of the offenders in the ground, in the earth. And so Jesus was writing on the dirt, and what does the Bible says? That from the oldest to the youngest, the accusers started to leave, because it must have been Jesus was writing their names down. They were false accusers. They were liars. They brought the Bible said that you should not lie. You should not bring a false accusation against your brethren. And that's what they were doing. They were lying. They were bringing a false accusation, because they only brought the woman to be judged. They didn't bring the man neither. So they knew that they were not using the schoolmaster lawfully. They were using it unlawfully in order to trap Jesus and his words. So we have to understand that as we walk in this life, and as we talk in this life, and as we do things correctly, spoke to the Corinthian church, we have to do it lawfully. We have to do it as is pleasing to God, that is in his will, things are done correctly. God doesn't want us to do something good, something for the good, but we're doing it wrong. That's not of God. That is not of God. That, remember one thing, that when the devil tempted Jesus, you know, he changed the word of God. Because if you remember correctly, Moses wrote the Tanakh. Then you have the writings and you have the prophets. But then what happened was that certain men translated the Hebrew into Greek, and they called that what? The Pentateuch, right? And so the devil quoted from the Pentateuch, which is different than what Moses wrote. So he was using the schoolmaster unlawfully, because he was using the changed version. He wasn't using the correct version. But Jesus knew the word, and Jesus quoted the word when the devil tempted Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, make these stones to turn into bread. Because Jesus was there 40 days and he was hungry. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we see Jesus using the schoolmaster correctly and Satan not correctly. And so it's the same thing with you and I, my friend. The enemy comes to tempt us and to push us in a way to try to cause us to leave our faith. And he mixes the truth with a lie. And you have to be on point with the word of God to understand where he changed the word of God. And like they say, not everything that looks good, not everything that's good comes from the Lord. Although the Bible says that everything that is good comes from God, the Father of the lights of heaven. But we have to be very careful that we're not tempted in a way with good to do evil. Okay, let's go to another point. And the question is, what converts the soul? What converts the soul? Is it your eloquent talking, the words that you use, the way that you approach a person? Is it that? Is that what converts the soul? Now, this schoolmaster converts the soul because it brings you to the point of understanding that you have not been functioning according to the schoolmaster. And if you remember when you was in the lower grades in school, they would teach you the three R's, writing, arithmetic. And if you did well, then you went on to pass. You passed to the next grade or something. Well, what converts a soul? The schoolmaster. Because you learn something of yourself, that the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So if all have sinned, then we need a Savior. And in order for us to receive the Savior, we have to understand that we have sin in our life. And the schoolmaster, when it's brought to our attention in the right way, will convert the soul. A person will have a change. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So once you're converted, my brothers and sisters, you know, if you was a thief, you're not a thief no more. You don't go back and do the things that you used to do. If you was an adulteress, if you had an affair with someone and you did it hurting your loved one, you're not going to do that anymore. You ask for forgiveness of God, you forgive yourself, and you ask your loved one to forgive you. Now, if that loved one is also a born-again Christian, they're going to forgive you, and you're going to go on from there. If he's not a born-again Christian, if he's not saved, his actions might be different than what you expect. So what happens is when your souls are converted from the way that you used to be to the new path, to the new way, you know, most of the time you're going to lose family, you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose acquaintances because, you know, they might ask you, let's go clubbing this Friday. And you're going to say, no, I can't do that any longer. I'm going to go to church and worship my God. And those people that invited you to go clubbing might never call you again, might not speak to you again. But that's okay. Because we lose one person here, but think about the many nations, the many people that we read in Revelations, many people from many nations all over the world that are going to come Christ Jesus. Think about that family. You're going to have a family greater, bigger than what would you have before. The Word of God talks about that we're going to come to innumerable company where no man could number. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We got about 9 minutes to go. You can call us at 516-418-5944. That'll be Blog Talk Radio. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. If you have the answer to the question, what was our schoolmaster? Or what is our schoolmaster? Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so we study. We could look into the scriptures and we ask God to give us a revelation. We have the Logos word, but we ask God to give us a Rhema word. As we go forward, you know, your priority number one at this time is Psalms 122:6. You want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And pray for your nation. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for the leadership that we have in this nation. Pray for everyone that the Holy Spirit will bring to your memory. Now, some people might say, I don't know how to pray. That's okay. I don't know who to pray for. That's okay. Just surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit, and He will teach in your prayer. Who to pray for in your prayer. It doesn't have to be eloquent words. Remember, God loves you. And he gave His only begotten Son. He doesn't want you to be lost. Remember, the Word of God says that the long suffering of God, because He wants us to repent of our sins and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God is withholding back His judgment because He doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants us in that number when we go to heaven. He wants us to be worthy to escape the wrath to come. Because remember, according to the scriptures, the wrath to come is coming upon the children of disobedience. So don't be a child of disobedience. Be a child of obedience. Recognize that you have sinned. Recognize that you have fallen short of the glory of God, to cleanse you with the precious blood of the Lamb. Ask Christ to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask God to baptize with the Holy Spirit so you would have the power within you to be a witness unto the Lord wherever you go. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We've got about 5 minutes to go. And call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. Press number one to speak to the studio. Hallelujah. To be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to come to Blog Talk Radio. We're here this Sunday. We'll be back on Tuesday at 7 p.m. for our intercessory prayer. And we'll be back on Thursday at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And remember, Samuel said, like what I said, is specific. We don't want to be non-specific. We want to be specific, simplistic. We want to understand the Word of God, have knowledge of the Word of God. We want wisdom in the Word of God. And if you lack wisdom, just ask God. He will give you wisdom abundantly. But you need to ask. You need knowledge. You need to ask God. Understanding, you need to ask God. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to understand the things of the Word of God. And make that your priority. When you wake up in the morning, you're praying. When before you go to sleep at night, you're praying. You're taking time out in your daytime to study your word. And you're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you in the way that you should go. What was our schoolmaster? Or what is our schoolmaster? Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take a couple of minutes to be silent, and we will ask the Holy Spirit to give us understanding, and we pray that one of you will come up with the correct answer. Then may the Lord return.